You're listening to Eagle Wings Online Radio, your messianic Christian music alternative.
Like what we do? Share this on your socials and tell everyone.
We hope you get blessed by this narrated sermon podcast from Pastor Chris.
Title: Whom Shall I Fear? Topic: The Armor of God. How does the Lord speak to you? In visions, in dreams, in sudden confirmations, or recurring thoughts? What about through your iPod or the radio? Sunday morning at 6 a.m., the alarm goes off, and I listen for a couple of minutes to some inspirational music. About 40 minutes later, I'm talking to the First Lady, and she was under attack from some negative demonic influences of negativity. Suddenly, the iPod went back on again, with Sid Roth delivering encouraging scripture messages, strengthening her resolve, and telling her to follow the path of the righteous. These kinds of things have been happening a lot in our little big ministry. People have been under attack, and while they know the word, the most important thing for them at that moment is a word of confirmation and a word of encouragement. This year, Eagle Wings Charismatic Ministries International has been teaching a lot on discernment, deliverance, and above all, on prayer. So what is it that we really expect to happen? Have Satan sit on the sideline and wait while our swords are being sharpened, our armor is put on? No, I don't think so. Satan will fight with all he has to battle us while we are still preparing for the final battle. When our helmet of salvation is still in our hands, he will attack our minds, our thoughts, our words, because that protective piece of armor is being polished with the Word of God. And while that is happening, it is not yet where it belongs, on our heads. Fiery darts of doubt, of words that hurt, and words that attack are sent to our brains, even words that make people sick. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, let us put on the helmet of salvation, because the battle is raging and no one should be hurt. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 11 to 18, Amplified Bible. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy-armed soldier, which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotisms, against the powers, against the world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness in the heavenly, supernatural sphere. Therefore, put on God's complete armor, that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger, and having done all the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith, upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword that the Spirit wields, which is the Word of God. Pray at all times, on every occasion, in every season, in the Spirit, with all manner of prayer and entreaty. To that end, keep alert and watch with strong purpose and perseverance, interceding on behalf of all the saints, God's consecrated people. The mind is the first place where Satan attacks us. It is also the place that immobilizes us the fastest. While we will survive a leg wound or arm or chest wound, an attack on our eyes or ears means the end for the battle soldier. The helmet is one of the most important parts of our armor, and with our spiritual armor, it is not any different. The helmet of salvation shows us what it is all about. Salvation from sin. A path of righteousness. A path of glory. Paul has seen this so very clearly when he talked about the full armor of God. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 8. New International Version, 1984. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate, and the hope of salvation as a helmet. And the attacks are raging stronger every day to you and me, my brother and sister, because for us, the salvation is not just a hope anymore, but a sacred knowledge. It is a holy, satisfying fact that we are saved, sanctified, and Holy Spirit-filled. To use the title of last week's message, Paul had hope and brought that hope to the people, but now, through the centuries, we have seen so much proof, and Satan is attacking so openly that it is no longer hope. When you open your eyes to see what is going on in the world, we see what is happening. We then also know what is going to happen. Sodom and Gomorrah were cities filled with lust and sin, and they were destroyed. We know those cities of Sodom and Gomorrah in every single country that we know of. What will happen to those places of sin we also know? God will destroy them. So many warnings have been given. So many John the Baptists are crying out in the desert to repent, and people do not hear. Did you hear it? Yes. Wear your helmet. You know salvation. Wear it on your head. Protect your body, soul, and spirit. Let Satan's words not enter your mind. The helmet of salvation is the hope of salvation, our knowledge that we are saved, saved from hell, and more importantly, salvation from sin. The importance of hope can be seen in our daily lives. A working man will put all his energies into his job, in the hope that his efforts will be noticed and result in material and other rewards. Should he lose his job, it is the hope that he will get a better one that will sustain him. Take away his hope of a great and wonderful job, and you have hurt him, damaged him severely. He will sit at home and feel sorry for himself and be depressed. Take away his hope in life itself, and you would have destroyed him completely. When looked on as part of our armor, hope takes on greater meaning. The Greek word elpis, from which the word hope derives, literally translates as confident expectation, and is a far more descriptive and accurate definition of the helmet that safeguards our minds. The confident expectation we are required to have is of the day when Jesus Christ will come again, fulfilling all the promises made in the gospel. On this day, the work that he began in us when we were born again will be completed. On this day, we will secure eternal life. Titus chapter 1, verses 2 and 3. Amplified Bible. Resting in the hope of eternal life, which the ever-truthful God, who cannot deceive, promised before the world or the ages of time began. And now, in his own appointed time, he has made manifest, made known, his word, and revealed it as his message through the preaching entrusted to me by command of God our Savior. It is the knowledge, this confident expectation of this eternal life, that can protect our mind from the endless assaults upon it by the enemy. A Christian who has this hope will not give in to the temporary pleasures of sin, nor will he trade his salvation for the lusts of the world. He won't worry or be anxious about life's many problems either. When the enemy shoots off his arrows of doubt, temptation, and lust at his head, he will not fail. He will not starve. He will not falter or give in, because hope will secure his defenses. Hope develops the same way faith develops, and like the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation grows stronger with use. The clearer the understanding we have of God's Word, the more we believe in God's promises, and consequently, the greater our hope in His ability to fulfill those promises for us, in us, and through us. And when the helmet of salvation becomes very strong, we can anchor our very soul to it. And still, to say it bluntly, when the battle starts, many of us have already fallen by an arrow of doubt in our minds, and we poop our pants in fear. We went into the battle trusting in our own understandings. God said it to David, and He says it, "The battle is mine." It does not mean, don't do anything. It means, we have won. The battle is mine. We are the victors. When we go into battle, God is not somewhere on a high place having the view of the battlefield. No, He is, through Jesus Christ, our head, in front of it, leading. He is our Jehovah Nissi, our banner. He points the direction. The battle is already His. We need to follow Him to get to the other side of the battlefield, to be the victors and collect the prize. God has made you the head and not the tail. Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 12 to 14, King James Version. The Lord shall open unto thee His good treasure, the heaven to give the rain unto thy land in His season, and to bless all the work of thine hand, and thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath, if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I command thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. God has given you a special helmet, the helmet of a leader, not one of a follower. Follow Jesus and lead others to Him by following Him. It is up to us to stand up and say, Lord, I see the attacks coming. I have received that gift of discernment through Your Holy Spirit, and I'm ready, Lord, to take my place and do my duty. Here am I, Lord, send me. Keith Green wrote a beautiful song based on the words in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, King James Version. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me. Keith Green died way too young at the age of 28, but left a legacy of song and ministry that's pleasing to the Lord, even now. Keith said it, Here am I, Lord, send me. Where am I? Am I? Where are you? Are you? Are we saying it, Here am I, send me? Are we standing with David? Can we sound the shofar, announcing our arrival at the battlefield? David wrote in Psalm 27. Psalm 27, King James Version. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in His temple. For in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion. In the secret of His tabernacle shall He hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in His tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Why? You just gave out all those battle cries, and now you say with David, Wait unto the Lord. Yes, don't jump into the deep without your floaties on. We need to have our leader, our banner, ahead of us. Otherwise, we do not know where to go. You will be lost and get caught in the snares of the adversary. Follow Christ, and you will never be the tail. You will never be under. Lean not on your own understanding, but follow Christ and his lead. The victory is already made. I'm ready for the parade over the streets of gold, and to lay down the spoils at the feet of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In these challenging times, it's crucial that we, as believers, fully embrace the armor that God has provided for us. The helmet of salvation is not just a metaphorical piece of equipment. It represents our confident expectation in Christ's return and the fulfillment of his promises. By firmly placing this helmet upon our heads, we guard our minds against the relentless attacks of doubt, fear, and temptation that the enemy hurls our way. Let us remember that we are not alone in this battle. Our Lord goes before us as Jehovah Nissi, our banner and leader. As we follow him, we are assured of victory because the battle is already won through Jesus Christ. Our role is to stand firm, equipped with the full armor of God, and to lead others to him by our example and testimony. Now is the time to rise up and answer God's call with the same willingness as Isaiah. Here am I, send me. Let us be proactive in our faith, stepping out boldly to share the gospel, to encourage the weary, and to be vessels of God's love and power in a world that so desperately needs him. May we continually seek the Lord's guidance, waiting upon him, and moving forward under his direction. By doing so, we not only secure our own spiritual well-being, but also become instruments through which God can reach others. Let us put on the helmet of salvation and all the armor of God, standing together in unity and purpose, confident in the hope we have in Christ. Amen.
Be sure to share the podcast on your favorite social media channels.